Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have an exclusive interview with Congressman Jim Jordan. And we also ask a couple questions. Did you know there was a flu pandemic in 1968? We dive into that and so much more. Before we get started, please email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. It comes straight to me and then to our team. And do me a favor. Take out that phone. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Make sure that subscribe button is hit and give us those 5-star reviews and leave us a review. It helps us tremendously to beat Joe Biden in the podcast charts. Buckle up. You're going to love this episode, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Welcome to this episode, everybody. Did you guys know that there was another flu pandemic in 1968? Someone sent me this link yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I always like to look at context, and I love history. I'm a student of history. I study the great civilizations, the Greeks, the Romans, the Chinese, the Babylonians, the Aztecs, the Incans. I think that there's some commonality to how government was formed and human nature and the pursuit of liberty, the formation of America. So I think that the more we understand history, the more we can understand the future. To know the road ahead, ask those coming back. History can be a huge guide. It can be a compass. It can be a roadmap for how we want to make future decisions. So someone sent me this link. I looked into it independently, and our whole team at the Charlie Kirk Show did. Did you know that there was a huge pandemic, a killer virus, in 1968? This virus showed up from Hong Kong in December of 1968. It was actually H3N2, not H1N1, H3N2. And it peaked a year later. It ultimately killed 100,000 people in the United States, mostly over the age of 65, and over 1 million people worldwide. Now, mind you, lifespan in the United States back in 1968 in those days was about 70, whereas it's about 78 today. Population was about 200 million as compared to about 328 million today. If it would be possible to extrapolate the death data based on population demographics, we might be looking at 250,000 deaths today from this virus. So in terms of lethality, it was actually as deadly, if not more deadly, more scary than COVID-19, the China virus. We didn't close schools, we didn't close restaurants, and we didn't close non-essential businesses. No, the concept of non-essential businesses would be laughed at that time. We didn't even enact social distancing, by the way. And I'm not saying all this stuff was wise, but it's what we did. And the country did not suffer economically. We did not have the social isolation. And we even had Woodstock, which occurred in August of 1969. And this all happened under President Nixon, who was vilified by the media, and yet no one in the media told him to shut down the entire country. And look, this was planned in January during the worst period of death. Woodstock was planned in January during the worst period of death, and it was executed months later, about a year and a half after the global peak. Look, why am I talking about this? First of all, Woodstock was a crucial turning point. It was a cultural turning point in American history. It makes you wonder, what cultural touch points are we missing right now? But here's the big difference. Here's why I'm mentioning it, is that we've had pandemics before. People say, well, this is the first killer pandemic we've had. No, this is the first time that we've quarantined the healthy. This is the first time we've shut down the entire American economy. And the contrast between the reaction in 1968 and 2020 couldn't be more striking. They were smart. They knew the virus was there. Certain people quarantined themselves. They were mature. They handled it correctly. This was the post-World War II generation that had the wherewithal and the worldliness to say, okay, fine, if we don't want to get sick, we're going to stop going to public events and we're going to quarantine ourselves. But they didn't let it master them. They didn't let it erode freedom and liberty that was natural upon their creation, given by God. Instead, and what we have today is we've allowed the state have way too much control, put people that run beauty salons like in the state of Texas in jail, not allow Christians to go to Easter. Guess what? Despite this killer pandemic, Christians were allowed to go to church in 1968 and 1969 on Easter Sunday. And we were robbed of that because of the statist, Marxist, collectivist control run by Democrats in these states that did not allow us to go there. I encourage you to look into the virus of 1968, 1969. It could be very informative and very instructive. I also want to talk to you about how we get the whole power of quarantine. How is it that the government is even able to tell us to quarantine? Well, it was a law passed by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the greatest power-grabbing presidents in American history, who's unbelievably overrated. He was right about a couple things. He was right about the danger of public sector unions, and he was right about the threat of Nazism and communism. He was terribly wrong about his domestic programs. The Public Health Service Act of 1944 established the federal government's quarantine authority for the first time. And guess what? That federal government authority was not used in 1968-1969, despite 100,000 people dying when our population was only 200 million, where it's over 340 million today. This is the first time in human history that we have quarantined healthy people. And let it be the last time we ever do this. Because your freedom and your liberty is natural upon your creation. What we're seeing right now is one of the greatest collision courses. And I talk about this with Congressman Jim Jordan, which you're going to hear in just one second. It's one of the greatest collision courses philosophically in American history, where you have people on the left and Democrats that think your rights are not natural upon your creation. We give you those rights. We administer them to you. Social contract theory, where those of us that believe in first principles, that believe in John Locke, that believe in the Enlightenment, that believe in Descartes and Cicero and Marcus Aurelius, say, no. These rights are natural upon our creation. And more importantly, we get this from the Bible, because you believe in natural rights given by God, you have to believe in a natural rights giver. The left does not believe in that. J.B. Pritzker and Gavin Newsom, they think they're the ones that give you the rights. They're the ones that will tell you, it's okay to leave the house because we are actually in control of you. No, we are in control of you. We created the government. We created your own existence. We are the sovereign, not you. The 1944 Public Health Service Act allowed the feds to do the following. It prevents the entry of communicable diseases into the United States by quarantine and isolation measures, which we're seeing now. It allows you to take measures to prevent the spread of communicable diseases between states. And it may accept state and local assistance in enforcing federal quarantines and may assist state and local authorities in preventing the spread of communicable diseases. It's important to know the context of how all these bills and laws were passed in greater theory. Now, if they would have tried to do a national quarantine in 1968, when they had the Woodstock generation and people were so rebellious, it wouldn't have happened. The people would not have allowed it they would have protested in the streets. This is post-Vietnam War protest, right during the height of the Vietnam War, by the way, I should say. We need some of the greatest actual musical breakthroughs in American history and kind of fight the man. You're not going to tell us what to do. We love our freedom. We love our liberty. Some of it was rooted in truth. Some of it was rooted, I think, in misguided rebellion. But it did eventually have this underlying pretext of, you're not going to be able to tell me how to live my life. Imagine if the government would have told all of those protests to stay at home. Good luck, because of the quarantine. They wouldn't have allowed that to happen at all. Now, by the way, I'm not a huge supporter of the burning of the draft cards or the burning of the American flag, or of course I'm not a supporter of Bill Ayers bombing the statues, but I love people exercising their First Amendment. I think the Vietnam War was an unjust and immoral war. I actually am not I'm not in support of the Vietnam War, of our aggressive neoconservative military action in Southeast Asia. But what's changed since 1968? The left is trying to turn America into one big college campus. On college campuses across the country, they have bias incident report teams where they pay students, such as the University of Arizona, they did this, pay students to go snitch on conservatives. This is a real thing that we deal with at Turning Point USA, where college campuses have students that are on their payroll to go report and pay when they say that students are acting in a conservative fashion. How's that? That's no different than Eric Garcetti, who said snitches will get rewards. I'm going to pay you to go report on your neighbor if they dare break quarantine or they dare break the status quo of the coronavirus. How about safe spaces? And college campuses, their whole goal is to try to make people feel safe. We'll let you know when the campus is safe from other ideas. They have conditioned people to stay at home to prioritize safety over liberty and freedom. Whatever happens on college campuses will soon happen in the American culture, and soon happen in the halls of Congress, and soon happen in the governor's mansions across the country, and soon happen in corporate boardrooms. They're now trying to turn America into one big college campus, where they snitch on your neighbor, where you do not value freedom and liberty, where you do not hear other ideas, that you dare go protest against the status quo, where you dare say something against the Democrat orthodoxy, you will get put in prison. You will get castigated. You will get arrested. You'll get cited, and you'll get demonized. I was watching some of these protests in Sacramento, capital of California, and they brought out the Praetorian Guard, full riot gear, weapons, cops on horses. I said, boy, I wish you had that kind of force on the southern border to prevent child sex trafficking, as you do to try to prevent lawful abiding citizens to try to exercise their First Amendment who want their freedom and liberty back. We have exercised more militaristic government force against individuals that just want to be able to live their life than against the Sinaloa cartel that are bringing drugs, heroin, and children illegally into our country. The left is using this as one of the greatest power grabs in American history. This is an erosion of religious liberty, first principles, the likes of which we have never seen before. This would not have happened in 1968. It wouldn't have. Despite there being a killer virus, despite there being a pandemic, do you know why? Because the people prioritized liberty, and they prioritized self-responsibility and individual initiative. They're only able to lock you up because the American people have allowed that to happen. They would never have tolerated this in 1968. We were a country, post-World War II, that valued the family, valued the community, valued the church, and you had the rebels of it that valued absolute limitless individual freedom, and none of that was valuing the state to be the final and total arbiter over human safety and health, despite 100,000 people dying, and I'm not minimizing that at all. But the government didn't quarantine the healthy. The government didn't even enact the Public Health Service Act in 1944. It was actually the left, believe it or not, in 1968, that was prioritizing the right to assemble, which I always find funny because the left loves protests as long as it confirms their own worldview. They love the March for Your Lives protests against guns. They love the Me Too protests. They love the Black Lives Matter protests. But as soon as you have protests that go, they want their freedom and liberty back against a Democrat governor, all of a sudden they call them Confederates. They call them the worst things you could possibly imagine. The left will use slander and attacks of character, character assassination against people they disagree with if you dare step out of line. We have to fight for our freedom and liberty, and we have to highlight those champions of freedom that actually stand on principle and stand for the future of America. And we're honored to have one of those people here, right here on The Charlie Kirk Show, Congressman Jim Jordan. Let's get into that conversation with Congressman Jim Jordan. Before we do that, it's not safe out there right now. There's a lot of uncertainty, and there are criminals being released from prison. In Ventura County, California, there are criminals on the loose. You need to feel safe at home. It's never been more important. So I want to talk to you about Simply Safe Home Security. They're longtime friends of our show, and I've used their product. And for good reason, I put my name behind the Simply Safe name, because they've made it easy to finally get comprehensive protection for your home. Do you know that break-ins are up 75% in New York City because of the coronavirus? Now, you might not be going to work, but criminals are not taking time off. Here's what's great about Simply Safe. There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt your house. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. You just order online, you set it up yourself in under an hour, and your home is protected 24/7 with emergency dispatch for break-ins, fire, and more. It's just for 50 cents a day. Can you ask yourself the question, is the protection of your loved ones, your children, maybe your pet, or your prized possessions worth 50 cents a day? Because the criminals are on the loose, and you need to do something about it. Look, we're not the only fans of Simply Safe. U.S. News and World Report named Simply Safe the best overall home security of 2020. So head to simplysafe.com/Charlie and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/Charlie to make sure that they know our show sent you. From Simply Safe and all of us here, we wish you safety, but do something about for your safety. Because the criminals, they might be around the corner. That's why you got to go to simplysafe.com/Charlie. Protect yourself. simplysafe.com/Charlie. We are honored to have with us today one of the few fighters in the House of Representatives, someone I have so much respect for, and someone that if we had 535 Jim Jordans, America would be in a better place. Congressman, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. How are you holding up in quarantine?
We're doing fine. It's time to get back to work, though. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, the Senate's back and we're not. But thanks for all you're doing. You're making a huge difference for the country, and we appreciate you and Turning Point and everything you're doing to help help the conservative cause and help our great country.
Well, thank you for those kind words. And likewise to you, you're one of the few people in the House of Representatives that actually went to D.C. to do what he said he was going to do. There's so much to discuss. I want to start with a piece of legislation that you're co-sponsoring with Senator Josh Hawley, who I have a great deal of respect for, about aid to universities. The legislation would restrict universities' endowments larger than $10 billion from coronavirus aid. I read earlier today, and I just couldn't believe it. I had to double check it, and it checks out that 25 universities with the largest endowments were allocated $803 million in coronavirus relief funding. They have a collective endowment of $350 billion. So can you tell us about this piece of legislation?
Yeah.
It's outrageous that these universities just seem that they continually to grow their assets with taxpayer dollars.
No, it's real simple. If you got a $41 billion endowment like Harvard does, you shouldn't be taking money from the PPP program or just the overall coronavirus relief package. You shouldn't be taking those dollars. After all, that money was intended for small business owners and for families who are really hurting because of this virus and this crisis that we're in. It's really that basic. You have some of these institutions who, frankly, you think about what goes on some of these college campuses, and you've been the leader in this, you know, the safe spaces and the free speech zones and the bias response teams and everything else. And now they're taking money that was the purpose of the money, the intent of the money was to help small business owners and families who are in real tough times right now because of this this virus and the orders that have been given by governors around the country. So it's that basic. And I'll tell you what, the president turned this around in 24 hours. When the president heard about this, what had happened, he did a tweet. He said something at the press conference, singled out Harvard. And within 24 hours, Harvard said, oh, we've now found Jesus, so to speak. We've seen the light. We're going to give back the money. In fact, they've done that.
$40 billion endowment, and they're still applying for federal aid. They did return the money. But I would go a step further that some of these universities haven't even refunded the fees that they took from students from this semester. So to put it so clearly, they said to students, you can't come back to school because of government orders. And the students made full deposits for room and board. And they never used the room and board for most of the semester, and they haven't refunded those student fees back to the students. And so I've been telling the president, like, hey, demand they return this money. This could be a refund back to middle-class families. And I'm of the opinion that some of these universities say, well, we're going to go broke and bankrupt. And I kind of say that's not our problem. I mean, you guys have been hiring way too many diversity officers, administrators, paying these ridiculous, lavish six-figure salaries, and you continue to raise tuition on the backs of U.S. taxpayer and future generations, and now you're worried that all of a sudden that we're getting broke, not to mention they're teaching our kids nonsense about the president, the U.S. Constitution, and Western civilization. Do you think that this bill is going to have any likelihood of passing? Sometimes there's these bills that sound so great, and then Nancy Pelosi finds some reason to not even consider it.
It'll be tough in the House. You're right about that. But we've got a chance in the Senate because, you know, obviously we can the Republicans can control the Senate. And Senator Hawley's been great. He's been great on this and a host of issues. But, yeah, the things that go on these our tax dollars finance these institutions. They insult our values. They put in place, as we said before, these bias response teams, which go out and say, you say something politically incorrect, you can have something put on your official record if you're a student there. You can have to do sensitivity training or all these other things. We did a number of hearings on this a couple years ago when we were in control in the House. And I thought it was real interesting because I asked this one professor at a hearing. I said, professor, on a college campus in a safe space, could I say this sentence? Donald Trump is president. And he paused. You can go watch the tape. He paused and then he says, well, Congressman, it depends. And I'm like, I interrupted him. I said, there's no it depends about it. He's the president of the United States. He was elected on November 8, 2016. He won a majority in the Electoral College, a big majority in the Electoral College. He got 63 million Americans to vote for him. So this is the kind of mindset we have on these campuses. And then for them to take money that was designed to help small business owners and families, and then not to help it, not take that money to help the students and maybe return the fees, as you talked about, that's what's most insulting. So I'm glad the president called him out. I'm glad you were the first on this. You started calling this stuff out long ago, and we appreciate your leadership on this issue and a host of others.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I also want to talk about these Confucius Institutes. I've been writing about this for a couple of years. We have a website, ChinaOnCampus.com, where we list all the universities that have Confucius Institutes. I'll reference the list right here in just a second because I want to see if Ohio has any Confucius Institutes because the last check, I think they did. For our listeners that don't know, Confucius Institutes are Chinese Communist Party official government-sponsored and funded institutions and installations on higher education. There's over 100 of them across the country. Christopher Wray, of which I've been critical of some of his recent handlings. We'll get that in 1 second. But he even said that this is one of the greatest threats of China domestically. In the United States, they build server rooms. Why would you need a server room on a college campus at a Confucius Institute? They bring in military officials. They bring in students that are spies that say they're really students in their mid-30s and early 40s. We're finally seeing a movement to shut down these Confucius Institutes. Have you seen some, let's just say, chatter or at least some good movement to try to get these Confucius Institutes officially kicked off college campuses? Because China is our greatest enemy. If Iran or Russia was building institutes on our college campuses, we would say this is outrageous. Have you seen some more chatter around this? And what can people do to help get these removed from campuses?
No, Look, it started with you, Charlie, and we appreciate that. But now in light of what China did, working through the World Health Organization with this virus, I think there's going to be more of a focus on this. And thank goodness we have President Trump in the White House. This president has been taking on China. He campaigned on it. It's one of the reasons he got elected. And he's been, whether it's, you know, trying to get China to adhere to international trade norms, the tariff issue that he's put with China, the theft of intellectual property, and on it goes, including these institutes they're putting on campus. We had the professor at Harvard who was arrested recently because of his connections with China and potential connections with Chinese espionage. So this is real serious. I think Americans are waking up to this. The good news is the leader of our country has been ahead of the curve, as that's have right. you. And that is what we really appreciate.
Well, that's very kind. So, Congressman, you know, in the spare time you don't have, you can call Governor DeWine and say, hey, Cleveland State has a Confucius Institute, University of Akron, and I think there's one other in the state of Ohio. So we got to get them kicked out.
Okay.
They have no place in public institutions, especially in the great state of Ohio, you know, taking that Chinese Communist Party money. And you just kind of – it's so insulting, Congressman, because Ohio is one of my favorite states. I think it's actually produced more presidents than any state in the country, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
As Ohio goes the country is the old expression. But what I think it's just – it's as insult to injury, and hear me out on this, because Ohio has been disproportionately impacted by the deindustrialization of America. All those jobs that got shipped overseas to China, Ohio really bared a lot of the brunt of that. What do they do? They go then come back to Ohio with a quasi-military intervention and build institutes on campus, say, well, now love us for stealing all of our jobs and taking your money away. It's gross. It's something I think needs a lot of blowback. So I did mention Christopher Wray, and I want to talk about the FBI, because you have been on the cutting edge of this. I think the way that Lieutenant General Michael Flynn was treated and has now been revealed to have been treated as one of the greatest injustices in modern American history. Everything the president has said about the deep state and spying has been proven to be true. You went out on a limb and you called out this nonsense before these documents were even made public. And in these documents, it was shown that this was entrapment in its purest form. And any way you look at it, it was entrapment of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn without legal representation in the People's House, the White House. They go in and entrap Michael Flynn. Here's the question I have, Congressman. Why is it that the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Christopher Wray sat on this exculpatory evidence for 2 years? Can you add some insight into this?
I have no idea, but it is frustrating. But for the work of Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn's lawyer, but for the effort of the Attorney General Bill Barr. Bill Barr said to Jeff Jensen, U.S. Attorney in St. Louis, go take another look at the Mike Flynn case. Those two, Bill Barr's actions and Sidney Powell's actions, are the reason we now have this information of what they did to a three-star general who served our country for over 30 years. And you put it all in context. Remember, Charlie, you know this. In July of 2016, they launched an investigation into President Trump. They, in the course of that investigation, in the summer of 2016, they used the now famous dossier, the dossier that was paid for by the Clinton campaign, the dossier that was written by Christopher Steele, who Christopher Steele told the Justice Department he was, quote, desperate to stop Trump from getting elected. The dossier that they knew was Russian disinformation, the dossier that they knew was salacious and unverified, Jim Comey's words, not mine. They used that dossier to go spy on people associated with President Trump's campaign. And then we learn, just a couple weeks into his administration, they sneak two guys into the White House. They don't follow the standards they're supposed to follow, notifying the White House counsel. They sneak two FBI agents into the White House to set up a three-star general and to charge him with lying to the FBI in this crazy Logan Act, which has never been used to charge anyone with a crime. That is how bad it is. And if I can just add one more thing, understand what took place. January 3rd, Chuck Schumer goes on the Rachel Maddow show. He says in response to a statement President-elect Trump had said that they're spying on me. He said they're spying on our campaign, they're spying on me. Chuck Schumer says, if you mess with the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday getting back at you. The next day, the two agents who were doing the investigation said, there's nothing there with Michael Flynn. We should drop this crossfire razor investigation. The day after that, Peter Strzok, famous now, Peter Strzok says, wait a minute, don't drop it. Comey and McCabe told me we're going to continue this investigation. And then the 6th of January, this is all in 2017, all in the span of 3 weeks. January 6th is when they go to Trump Tower and try to trap the president and brief the president on the dossier. 2.5 weeks later is when they go to the White House and trap Michael Flynn. All that happens in a 3.5 week time period in January of 2017. That's how disgusting this is. So people need to be held to account. Most importantly, I hope John Durham
Yes.
The investigation he's doing, I hope they hold Jim Comey accountable.
As the congressman said, college campuses and student loan debt, it's a really big issue for a lot of Americans. Are you in student loan debt, or are you wondering how you're going to get out of debt? Well, I'll tell you what. Credible.com has answers. Credible.com is an online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. They help people get out of student loan debt, and if you've got student loan debt, you could benefit. They lower your rate, which could save on interest and lower your monthly payment. With a shorter loan term, you could get debt-free faster, consolidate all your student loan bills in one place. Credible customers have given awesome reviews about how much better their lives have been after refinancing their student loans. On Credible, you see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders. It only takes a couple minutes to check rates, and checking rates does not impact your credit. They never sell your data, so you won't receive spam and phone calls from dozens of lenders. Again, they could lower your rate, save on interest, and get debt-free faster. If you're in debt, if you have a son in debt or a grandson in debt, a granddaughter or a daughter, check out Credible.com. Here's what you do. Go to Credible.com/Charlie. That's Credible.com/Charlie. When you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Again, save on interest, lower your monthly payment, get debt-free faster. On Credible, you'll see actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 different lenders. This is the place to go, Credible.com/Charlie. Well, I completely agree, and I'm going to add to that. Fusion GPS, which was the firm that was contracted by the DNC in the Hillary Clinton campaign, I don't think this gets talked about enough, but the founder of GPS met with the lady, her name is way too hard to pronounce, before and after the Donald Trump Jr. Trump Tower meeting. And that's not talked about enough. And this could be argued that it was a setup. And if it was investigated even one-tenth as much as some of the other stuff that was investigated, I guarantee you that they would find that this was intergovernmental collusion against innocent people. So, Congressman, I'm gonna ask it again a different way because I'm struggling with this. If I was Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, I'd be licking my chops and I'd say, I'm going to sue the federal government for $50 million in damages because you sat on exculpatory evidence. And by the way, you know what makes our system so beautiful and so unique, Congressman? I know you know this. We can sue our government. We're one of the only governments in the world where the citizens can sue the government. Now, it's hard. It's hard to win. The chances are not in your favor. The odds are not in your favor. But there's still a possibility. And some of the greatest lawsuits in American history have set precedent for citizen-based reform have been people rising up and actually filing a lawsuit against the federal government. Yeah. Kathleen Engelbrecht is one. Actually, she won against the Internal Revenue Service when they went after her and they targeted her business because she dares looked into voter fraud, which, of course, is the third rail, the holy grail of the American left. But, Congressman, I'm failing to realize what is Christopher Wray's motive here? How could you sit on these documents while Michael Flynn mortgages his house for years and he goes into debt to defend himself?
Yeah, and they threatened his son. I mean, the things they did to General Flynn are just so egregious, so wrong. And look, he may do what you just described. That's up to him and his lawyer, Sidney Powell. We'll see what happens. We sent a letter to Chris Wray 2 days ago. And we asked a simple thing. When did you know about this? And when you did find out about it, why didn't you give us this information? And then most importantly, we said, give us any documents that relate to the Michael Flynn situation that we haven't seen. And we want to talk to two people in particular. We want to talk to Joe Pienka, who was the agent who sat with Peter Strzok when they interviewed Michael Flynn. Now, understand this. Peter Strzok, through text messages we now have with him and Lisa Page,
the lover,
we have learned that Peter Strzok changed what's called the 302. That's the notes taken during the interview they had with Michael Flynn. That original 302 we've never seen. It's been changed. So we want that document, the original 302. And more importantly, we want to talk to Joe. We've interviewed Peter Strzok before, and I've been in part of these congressional investigations. He's been deposed. We've had him in a hearing. We want to interview the other guy, Joe Pienka. So we asked Christopher Wray, let us interview this guy, make him available for us to talk to and ask him these important questions and give us those documents. We'll see what Christopher Wray does.
Boy, I mean, for Michael Flynn and everyone surrounding, I sure hope that justice starts to get served. And true justice would be holding these individuals accountable, make sure that this never happens again. And Lady Justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be impartial. And that's just not the case here at all. So thank you for your leadership, by the way, because during the Mueller investigation, you were outspoken, you were vocal, you were public about how it was a hoax, how it was an unconstitutional appointment. And we forget so quickly about Mueller. I mean, that was all we talked about for a year and a half. And it comes up with absolutely nothing. The president is exonerated completely. Then they do the Ukraine impeachment. Now, of course, the virus. This president has gone through incredible domestic adversity. In fact, I could argue he has been through more domestic adversity than almost any other president in the modern era. And you look at they literally impeached him. They investigated him as special counsel. And then you have this coronavirus crisis that I believe he's handled very, very well. As he's handled it very well, I also, though, have lots of concerns, Congressman, about the erosion of freedom and liberty happening in real time across the country. I got my start in the Tea Party movement. I was holding up the sign saying, you know, taxed enough already, no more debts and deficits, borrowing today is stealing from the future and freedom and liberty of tomorrow. I know you're a deficit hawk. I know you care about the debt and deficit. We have so many young listeners on this podcast. Can you give our listeners some comfort about what's happening right now in D.C.? Because I'm really worried about the $4 trillion deficits, the hyperinflation that might ensue, and the deterioration of our currency that might be around the corner because of all this money that's being created.
No, great question. Let me back up one second. You're exactly right. What back to Michael Flynn. If they can do it to a three-star general, if they can do it to a president of the United States, imagine what they can do to us. Mm. Imagine what they can do to us regular Americans. And that's why this is so darn important. What happened to President Trump should never happen to anyone. Never happened to any other president. What they did to Michael Flynn is so wrong. But if they can do it to a three-star general and a president of the greatest country in history, imagine what they can do to us regular citizens. And that's why this is so important. This spending, you're right, Charlie. It is out of control. But unfortunately, we had to do it. When I viewed this coronavirus CARES package, this big $2 trillion package we did to deal with the crisis we're in, I viewed it as a takings. We all know under constitutional law, if government takes some of your property, maybe there's an eminent
Fifth
domain
Amendment.
They want to use
sure.
it for a public purpose. Yeah. So if they take your property, they have to compensate you for it. Well, in essence, what happened is governors around the country were saying, look, this virus is serious. We have to deal with it. We're going to shut down your livelihood, shut down your business, your small business. And so when that happens, you have to compensate people. So we had to borrow money. The Fed had to do things that are frankly unprecedented to make sure there was funds available for small business owners and families to get through this difficult time. So the best thing we can do now, though, you got Speaker Pelosi talking about phase four, phase five, whatever phase we're in. She wants to spend another trillion. My response is the best phase four, go back to work.
Amen.
Let's open up this economy and let's forget this arbitrary distinction that politicians are making, essential versus non-essential. Every business is essential to the person who's running it. So let's let businesses open up. Let's let businesses operate. And let's get back to this great economy we had under President Trump prior to the virus.
Yeah, I have two thoughts on that. I agree completely that the greatest stimulus is to give people their liberty and freedom back. And Congressman, I'll be honest, I'm very worried that we all of a sudden are looking for the state to be the complete and total arbiter to take responsibility for ourselves. And as when you have liberty, you have to have personal responsibility. When the founding fathers wrote the architecture of our government and the architecture of the Constitution, they said this will only be good if you're a moral people and a responsible people. And I'm not saying the government doesn't have a role to intervene in times of mass disaster and mass crisis. But I also push back and saying, was the shutting down everything around the country the right move? We could talk about that for quite some time. I think the Fifth Amendment argument has a lot of sound and a lot of sound argument behind it. So I have two thoughts on that. The first of which, if that is the case, then someone should pay for it. And I think that someone should be China. And I think we need a complete and total recalibration of our country's stance towards China. I believe we need to cease all trade with China. I think the Chinese Communist Party is the greatest threat to America's future. I've come under criticism for that stance and that approach. But I believe it's time that if we do not get tough and we do not treat them like the Soviet Union actors that they are going to continue to get rich at our expense. The more we trade with them, the less westernized they actually become. What is your stance on the Chinese Communist Party as a lawmaker, as someone who's in these hearings? Do you see, and you're hearing from constituents that are more and more worried about the rise of China? And how should our listeners interpret that?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a great place to start. Let's start with hearings on the World Health Organization. Americans' hard-earned tax money goes to this organization that was running interference for China, was lying to the world, was shilling for the Communist Party in China. Why? I got asked by a reporter a couple of weeks ago. They said, well, you know, Congressman, you're the top Republican on the Judiciary Committee, top Republican on the Oversight Committee. But if you were chairman, if you guys were in control, what would you be having hearings on? I said, that's simple. The Judiciary Committee should be having hearings on the threats to liberty that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Amen.
That you talked about a little bit earlier that are happening around the country. And the Oversight Committee should be having hearings on the World Health Organization. Why in the world are we sending the hard-earned tax dollars of the American people to this organization and then have them give us false information and shill for the Communist Party? I got a colleague, Congressman Gohmert, has a great line. He says, we don't have to pay organizations to lie to us. They'll probably do it for free, right? So at a minimum, we should say, you're not getting any more American tax. Let's start there, and then let's do the hard work and investigation. Let's continue the trade policy that the president has started. that's designed to bring back manufacturing jobs, designed to have China quit stealing our intellectual property, quit stealing from us and taking things from American manufacturing. So, but the great place to start is hearings on the World Health Organization. But Nancy Pelosi won't even let the Congress come do its work. That's sort of the fundamental issue we're at right now.
I know, I'm depressed too that there's no NBA, no NHL, no Major League Baseball. The greatest sporting thing that I got to see recently, the NFL draft, and that is over. But I want to tell you about our exclusive partner, BetOnline. They still have hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker to blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can wager on. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. I'm telling you right now, when sports get back, you guys are going to want to have to use, you guys got to use BetOnline. You can use it now. They do such amazing work. Again, visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Podcast One, Joe Burrow, and so many others are going to be playing soon. You guys got to get in on the action. BetOnline.ag. Don't forget that promo code, Podcast One. So Congressman, let's talk about that. I believe Nancy Pelosi is part of the ruling class in our country. I describe the ruling class as a group of people that care much more about the institution than the country. So, for example, James Comey is part of the ruling class because when he walked into the bureau office every single day, he cared more about the FBI symbol on the ground than the flag on the wall. He cared more about protecting whatever institution he thought existed or the prestige around it or his own personal career trajectory than what was right for the fabric and the soul of the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. I think the same for Nancy Pelosi. She's part of the ruling class as she cares more about enriching herself, protecting Planned Parenthood and her crony Democrat interest all around her and whatever vision they have for America than the actual betterment of the American people. I consider Nancy Pelosi to be one of the most morally and politically bankrupt individuals in the history of American politics. What she did in front of her $24,000 refrigerator and her designer ice cream to go on a comedy show and make mockery and light in the midst of a national crisis the likes of which we have not experienced in over a century. People call her Nancy Antoinette. She's more of like an Eva Petron type. We can get into that later. But Congressman, I say this with you being excluded. I've never seen such anger and venom and hostility and rebellion towards Congress ever. And there's a little of baby with the bathwater syndrome there. And I try to have people nuance saying, look, there are good fighters like Congressman Jordan, formerly Mark Meadows, and so many others. You mentioned Louis Gohmert, who's amazing.
That's a good man.
But I'll tell you, Congressman, we're upset and I'm with them. I mean, there is more rightful rebellion against the institution of Congress than I think in modern American history, if not all American history. Are you hearing that? How are you interpreting it? And then also, what can we do about Nancy Pelosi and her whole leadership cartel that seem more focused on investigating impeaching Trump than actually delivering results for the American people?
Well, the main thing we can do is make sure that Donald Trump gets reelected president and we elect more Republicans to the House of Representatives so we get a majority. I mean, that's the main thing we do. You mentioned, you're right, there are people in Washington that I wish weren't there. But there are also some folks who are serving the public. I'll give you a great example. The Attorney General of the United States issued a memo, Charlie, last Monday. And in that memo, he said this: the Constitution is not suspended during a crisis.
Amen.
And amen to that. And he said he is instructing U.S. attorneys around this country, and this is a direct quote, be on the lookout for threats to people's fundamental liberty. That's the kind of leadership you want in your Justice Department. Contrast that with Jim Comey. This is Bill Barr standing up and saying the right thing. And remember, it was just 3 weeks ago where he issued the statement and said, if you can go to the grocery store and maintain a 6 feet social distance, you can certainly go to a drive-in church service and not be fined on Easter Sunday, for goodness sake. So while there are people like Pelosi who are frustrating to Americans, there are also people like Bill Barr who are standing up for the rule of law, standing up for the Constitution, standing up for fundamental liberty and freedom.
And we need to do an even better job of articulating that. And Congressman, I think we're seeing right now a philosophical collision course because people like Gavin Newsom, people like Governor Whitmer, people like Governor Evers or Governor Pritzker from Illinois. Of course, you know I'm from Illinois. I always say the fun thing about being from Illinois is we have term limits. It's one term in office, one term in jail. But being from Illinois, I've fled proudly. I'm now a resident of the state of Florida, 0% income tax. Very sane governor. You can actually visit your beaches and start a business. These governors, they have a total philosophical difference, Congressman. It's a collision course. They actually don't believe in natural rights. They think they're the administer of rights. They're like, oh no, no, you can only leave the home when we tell you, because we're the ones that give you the existence. Rousseauian social contract theory, whereas actually our whole design of government, which Attorney General Bill Barr, who's amazing credit, recognized, like, no, your freedoms are natural. We have to give a really good reason to take them away from you.
Yes, yes. Right, right. And remember, the governor of New Jersey said the Bill of Rights was above his pay grade. You're the governor of one of the largest states in our country. What are you talking about? Now, here's the thing that scares me more than anything else I've seen during this 7 weeks of this virus and this shutdown of the economy. The statements from the mayors of our two largest cities. So we had we had Mayor Garcetti in L.A. say, snitches will be rewarded. And we had de Blasio set up a hotline where you could snitch on, narc on, rat out your fellow citizen for taking their kids to the park or something like that. So you got the mayors of two of our largest cities advocating that citizens narc and rat and snitch on their fellow citizen, their neighbors. That is not healthy for a democracy. That is not healthy for a republic. That is not healthy for our country. That's the part that offends me the most. And then, of course, you mentioned Governor Whitmer and what she did. I mean, some ridiculous things there. And people are rightly fed up with this. And that's why they're protesting and standing up for their rights.
So to take it full circle in the couple minutes we have remaining, Congressman, I always say whatever happens in college campuses will soon happen in American culture in the halls of Congress. Where do they get these snitch ideas? Yeah. Bias response teams on college campuses.
Yep.
They condition students to look after each other and snitch on them and report on them. Where do they get people to have the idea of feeling safe at home? Well, that's safe spaces. They have been conditioning young people to be ready for this sort of statist control on college campuses, because the college campuses are a cultural canary in the coal mine, or a precursor, or a harbinger for things to come. And so I know you recognize this, but that's why I tell people that the college campuses are not an insulated community. It is in the short term, but long term, that is the politics flowing downstream from culture. That is the tributary that flows into our country. So we only have 2 minutes remaining, Congressman. We have a huge election coming up into November. We're running up against the most corrupt former vice president in American history, the most corrupt political father-son duo in American history, who sold out our country to the Chinese Communist Party, sat on corrupt foreign boards in Burisma. I don't even know if Biden's going to be the nominee. His daily struggle is putting together a coherent sentence, and let alone actually put together a message that resonates with people. You're in the consequential state of Ohio. President Trump won it decisively. What are you hearing on the ground? What can people do to help get President Donald Trump elected? And what do you think is going to be one of the big messages going into a successful victory in November?
Well, it's going to be what you just talked about, Charlie. It's going to be China. I mean, China and the Biden's connection with China. But Joe Biden being a defender of China just a few weeks back, the criticism the president faced when he shut off travel from China. So that's going to be a central theme in this campaign. But President Trump is going to win. I mean, prior to this virus, you think about what this guy accomplished in spite of all the things you talked about, all the things that attacks he got from the Democrats, from the mainstream press, from the hard left, and frankly, from a handful of Republicans. And yet, in spite of all that, before this virus, you had taxes have been cut, regulations reduced, strongest economy in American history, lowest unemployment in 50 years, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the courts, out of the Iran deal, embassy in Jerusalem, hostages home from North Korea, new NAFTA agreement, and a whole bunch of other things, trade policy changes with China, and we can go on and on. All that in spite of the most intense opposition I've ever seen in my lifetime for a president of the United States. So Americans understand that. They like this president's fight. They like the fact that they know deep down he cares about our military, our veterans, our law enforcement, and regular hardworking people like you and I and the folks that I get to represent. So he's going to win Ohio. He won it by 8.5, which was a shock 4 years ago. I think he's going to do that again. And I think he's going to be president for another 4 years. And we get through this virus issue. Things are going to the great American comeback is going to start happening in our economy with Donald Trump leading it. And thanks again for what you do. You've been a leader on so many issues, on this China issue, on what's happening on college campuses, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Congressman. You're a hero. Everyone listening, help Congressman however he can. We need so many more of you. It's just so depressing to see how most people, and honestly both political parties, are just there to get reelected and just play by the rules and all this. You are a hero. I mean that. You're one of the few that actually do what he said he's going to do. You fight for truth and freedom and justice. So we got your back 100%. Thanks for joining us, Congressman. Anything we can do to help you, you always let us know. God bless you.
All right. You too. Take care, brother.
Thanks. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. You can get involved, start a chapter, chip in some money if you can, tpusa.com. And please, email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Tell me your stories. Tell me what you're seeing. If you guys have tips or things that you think are important, I read all these emails. I respond to as many as I can. We get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. And make sure you guys are subscribed. If you guys don't want Joe Biden to be president and you want to beat Joe Biden today, well, help us on the Charlie Kirk Show beat Joe Biden. You can do so by taking up your device. If it's an Apple device, great. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider. If you have Google Podcasts or Spotify, that's also great. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure that subscribe button is pushed, those reviews are filled out, and those 5 stars are clicked. God bless you guys. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. God bless.